For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Victoria Hansen. Beneath the whisper of a whirling fan, Nikia Wigfall coils long strands of fragrant honey-colored sweetgrass. She binds them with pine needles and palmetto fronds woven with the end of a metal spoon.
Pine needles just give a different color, a different design in the basket.
Wigfall is a seventh generation sweetgrass basket maker.
I started making baskets when I was 4 years old, and I'm almost 60, so.
She learned from her mother in a Mount Pleasant community just outside of Charleston, known for its roadside sweetgrass basket stands. The area has long been home to the descendants of slaves called Gullah Geechee. They kept and closely guarded West African traditions like basket making.
And so we would, leave early in the morning and go to the basket stand.
Wigfall remembers long days when even a single basket wasn't sold and her family had to barter for food. Times were tough, and in many ways they still are, although baskets now sell for hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Wigfall has a roadside stand, but often it sits empty. The once rural road has grown into a six-lane highway. She says it's just too dangerous. She has a website and a second job. And that native sweetgrass once so abundant, Wigfall says it's being weeded out by overdevelopment. She worries about the future of sweetgrass baskets. Not if they will continue to be made. They've survived for centuries. But how? How to preserve their authenticity?
Commercialism. That's what I'm worried about. Where the story will get lost or why we even do this in the first place.
Slaves brought to the area from West Africa were exploited for their ability to grow rice. They coiled baskets called fanners to toss the hulls and separate the chaff. They used their skills, but not by choice.
People shed a lot of blood and tears behind the baskets. That's what I want people to know.
Wigfall worries younger generations are not as interested in basket making anymore. Cheaper Chinese knockoffs are turning up, and some basket makers are making money hosting workshops, sharing a secret once considered sacred.
You want to make sure that this palmetto produces a nice circle before you pull it all the way through.
Henrietta Snipe teaches a group at the town's annual Sweetgrass Festival.
A lot of basket makers, they get a little bit perturbed when I teach this.
Snipe also grew up in Mount Pleasant's Gullah community, but left to get an education. She began demonstrating basket making in local schools, teaching its history, she says, as a way to save it.
You can't make a dime trying to keep anything to yourself.
She says teaching is a good way to advertise. Students often become customers, especially when they realize how difficult basket making is. Besides, the value of the basket, she says, is in the history of the hands that make them.
No one can take this craft. This is sharing.
Marianne Binkowski and her daughters try to learn.
This is hard work.
They've noticed more vacant basket stands since moving here.
I think it's pretty important to learn wherever you live what it used to be.
There's a place in the sun.
What it used to be. That's what Erin Noble from nearby McClellanville wants her daughters to know. She strolls the festival in colorful African clothing.
This is one of the last cultures that have such strong ties to West Africa. It is so important that we preserve it.
Preserving a culture that survived slavery.
Moving on, moving on.
In Mount Pleasant, I'm Victoria Hansen for South Carolina Public Radio.